The next Metro train approaching your station will be a Metro Express train and will not stop.
Welcome back to Voices Carry Live. Oh, I guess we're starting off with the cat sound effect. Welcome back. That was a great weekend honoring our veterans. And we are back in the studio with another episode of Voices Carry Live. This is an independent venture broadcasting live without a net every weekday from the beautiful village of Cary. And the mission here is to elevate the conversation from social media and to give an alternative, something to supplement social media with the village. This show is not affiliated with the actual village as a government body, but it is a independent venture to try to move the conversation, not entirely, but just have a positive alternative to talk about something around the water cooler. Like, hey, did you see that Randy Scott guy on that Voices Carries? Yeah, he doesn't know what he's doing broadcasting, which he or she would be correct. But here we are. This show belongs to you. And you can email us at voicescarry@proton.me. That's voicescarry@proton.me. Really happy to be back in the studio with you, wherever you're joining us. If this show is marketed to residents of the Village of Cary, but if you're not in the Village of Cary and you're viewing us and you live somewhere else, you don't have to leave. You can see what we're doing here and maybe carbon copy it to where you live. You know, being involved in the community and knowing our neighbors is important now more than ever. So that whenever the nation throws at us or the world throws at us, we come out as a strong community. Let's get into it. You saw me make instant coffee, cold brew. I usually do some coffee before the show, try to get amped up, fired up, and it doesn't work. Cold brew coffee doesn't work with San Pellegrino. That's a pro tip. But I have my conscious cup, consciousness raised, and that's been that's about 3/4 of the way gone, so you got a fired up Randy Scott today. And the result, this is current events, but the result of a fired up Randy Scott gets you a rabbit hole, deep, moderate dive, fun dive. Nothing, this is a dive into, well, you'll see. You'll see. Little cliffhanger there. Let's dive into the local events. It was Veterans Day. Northwest Herald posted several local veterans whose service spanned from World War II to Vietnam to Desert Storm and beyond. Talk about their experiences in military service during a Veterans Day panel discussion on Monday, November 11th at the upper campus of McHenry High School. Thank you, McHenry High School, for hosting that. It's important to recognize our local veterans. And the Cary Park District also did. We touched on that the day before Veterans Day weekend. In McHenry County, Illinois, today, McHenry County celebrates U.S. veterans in a ceremony before the Vietnam Memorial at the County Administration Building. Thank you to Woodstock VFW Post 5040, McHenry VFW Post 4600, American Legion Post 412, and American Legion Post 491 for making this celebration possible. Thank you for putting that on. And this was a majestic pulled this from the Conservation District. That little deep dive actually has to... Oh, man. That little deep dive has something to do with the Conservation District, too. Little teaser there. A Veterans Day thank you to all those who have served. So thank you for the Conservation District for posting that majestic picture. And then local football, 41-8, Cary Grove against Antioch. Go Cary Grove. Briargate School, happy Veterans Day. It was a privilege to lead an assembly recognizing 10 veterans and honoring all those who have served. Thank you for your service. Look at that. They were walking down the hallway and... That's awesome they do that. I don't remember doing that in school. So that's great that they're doing that at that age. Briargate, mid-October, and students can still ride their bikes to school and have PE outside. So that is, it's nice that we can still get outside, get some fresh air. And then Oak Knoll posted, a sweet little preschool friend is strengthening his fine motor skills while practicing his letters. Way to go, buddy. That looks like a nice jellyfish. Very nice. Northwest Herald posted, candidates for municipal offices file during first day of filing for the consolidated election on April 1st, April Fool's Day, on Tuesday, November 12th. At McHenry City Hall. Tuesday marks the first day of filing for most races that will appear on the April ballot. And then I also pulled all of the Northwest Herald posted all the terms that are coming up for bid on the Price is Right. Algonquin, village president. Debbie Soslein is up for re-election. Cary Mayor Mark Kaunick. Our mayor, Mark Kaunick, is up for re-election. Crystal Lake Mayor Haig Halblin is not up for re-election this year. Fox Lake Village President Donnie Schmidt is up for re-election. Fox River Grove Village President Harvard Mark McLaughlin is seeking re-election. And then Harvard Mayor is seeking re-election. Hebron, Holiday Hills, Huntley, Island Lake, Johnsburg, Lake in the Hills, Lakewood, McCollum Lake, McHenry, Prairie Grove, Richmond, Spring Grove, and Woodstock. All items up for bid on April 1st at your election, so be sure to pull the lever on April 1st. I did throw this in here. Firefighters assist a worker outside after a large machines caught fire and began spreading inside a manufacturing plant in McHenry early Tuesday morning. The reason why I threw this in here, the large, even though this is not Cary, this is McHenry, I wanted to throw this in there. It was fitting after I came across the election stuff to come across this. It has nothing to do with the fire in particular. It looks like they had a handle on it and they were mitigating it. But the one thing they teach you in the fire service, when I was a firefighter, wasn't specifically my job. It was more of the command when they show up on a scene to when you have a fire like that in a building that has a lot of complex machines, moving pieces, it's good that to have not the mindset of, well, we're the fire department and you have to do what we need, have to, you know, our word is final, which it may be, but it's also good to be grounded enough to know that some of the people that you need to consult with on that fire scene are the people who work there every day. So like we would pair up with the mechanical engineering folks and find out, okay, which machine's on fire, which liquids, or is there any potential energy in that machine, which means that the machine might be off, but there might still be this heavy thing that might come down if it was kind of piggybacking off the election stuff. When you come into an organization, you can't just claim that you have all the answers. You have to get the feedback from the people who have been there, and then use that knowledge, your combined knowledge, to mitigate the situation, put the fire out if need be, and have great things happen. I had one more metaphorical. This is Randy's metaphorical corner. Metaphorically speaking, anyone who's ever said, "I don't want to know how the sausage is made," can skip this story. The hog house to smoke house on Heritage Farm at Spring Valley. That was an event. I included that because not everybody wants to know how the sausage is made. And I don't blame them. But it's up to the people in the organization at the sausage making house to always make the proper decisions, make the right decisions even when nobody's watching, so that when the family goes to the store and buys a sausage, they know that from the word go to the checkout counter, that everything that was put into that sausage was made with the right intentions and the right thought process, and you can go in there into the store confidently knowing that you're buying the right sausage. That has been Randy's metaphorical corner. Moving on. So yeah, when I do research for the show, it's more than just pulling local articles. It's more of weaving stuff in, tying stuff in, and you can kind of see my thought process on some things. Like in McHenry County, McHenry County Conservation District. While it might be startling to see a coyote, these native canines are generally afraid of humans and do not pose a threat. They help keep the population of rodents, small mammals, geese, and deer in check, and also scavenge dead animals, keeping neighborhoods clean. So, keep your small dogs close. And when they go out at night, be mindful that these dogs, canines, are out there, but they are just as afraid of you, if not more afraid of you, than you are of them. So thank you, McHenry County Conservation District, for posting that. And a little feel-good, local residents and an animal rehabilitation group came together to rescue a coyote roaming around for a week with a plastic jug stuck on her head in Lake Villa. They were able to get that plastic jug removed. Keeping your refuge and your rubbish in the proper receptacles so this doesn't happen. But thank you to those folks who saved that animal from hardship. And this is where the Conscious Cup deep dive rabbit hole began. The Illinois School Network, students, teachers, mourn the closure of historic Illinois outdoor camp, greatest memories of our lives. And then that immediately transcended into a deep dive into this. So I put together some fun things about Camp Algonquin. Some of you might have some memories of Camp Algonquin. I know I do. I went there for field trips when the YMCA had that property or was running the show. I think the Conservation District had the rights to the property, and they still do after looking at the property map. But I thought we'd go through some pictures. That concludes the local events So if Camp Algonquin doesn't tickle your fancy, or the Fox Bluff area, which we're going to touch on, over by Cold Springs off of Cary Algonquin, we are going to take a look at that. Let's have some fun. Looks like a, this usually looks like a postcard, but this was a photo from Camp Algonquin, the dining hall. This Camp Algonquin was listed one of the 10 most endangered historical places of 2014. Some more photos there. There's a little building. The trademark camp house with the screened-in porch. And then I did pull a few articles, which was this. And the first one I'm going to... pull up is this this Lisa's page. There's a independent person that does historical. Let me pull it up on the screen here. It's on the screen there, but I gotta pull it up so I can scroll. Here it is. Okay, so if you look on the photo, you can see Trout Valley, Fox River, Fox Trails subdivision. And the number one and two was a old ski resort back when the Hertz family owned it. And then it turned into Harry Hope's. And I have this right here. The Fox Trail Sports Arena was located on Cary Algonquin Road adjacent to the Trout Valley subdivision. In 1962, the former farm was converted into a ski resort. In 1963, swimming, tennis, and other summer camps activities were added. And this is right below number two is where that Camp Algonquin starts and goes down. I'm sure back in the day it included all that before the property lines were drawn. In the 1970s, skiing was eliminated and the ski chalet was converted into Harry Hope's, an intimate music venue. Today, the property is known as the Fox Bluff Conservation Area. Now that we're on this photo, number one and two there is immediately across from the Fox Trail subdivision. And I put this photo together. If you look at on the right there for your landmark, the parking lot for the Fox Bluff Conservation Area is this right here. You can see my cursor. It's on the right side of the screen. And then to the left picture, that same parking area is a little lower on the photo. So to give you your bearings, that's that. And then the Cary Algonquin is that road that runs at the top of both photos. But if you take a look on the left photo, this photo was pulled from the McHenry County property search, public search. You can see where they had plans for a subdivision to go into this, what is now conservation area. You can see the roads where they were built out, and they're still on the plot survey. But legend has it that I learned when I was back in the firehouse was that the day before they were ready to break ground for that subdivision, the McHenry County Conservation District came in and bought it. I've been back there on the trails, and it's a very delicate area. Like there's petrified leaves in the Cold Springs areas, and you just have to leave not even leave footprints. They always say take nothing but breaths and only leave footprints. But in some areas that are restricted, you know, those are restricted for a reason. But you can see where they had a plans for a subdivision, and then to the right there is what it looks today. So the conservation district saved that property, and then going back to this, we have some more photos. From 1843 to 1962, there was an ice house located on the building, on the property. Ice was cut from the river during the winter and stored in the ice house for use during the summer. That's the entrance to the farmhouse. And that was a barn and silo taken. My grandmother's sisters with Carrie Algonquin Road in the background. And then some kids having some fun. My grandmother's brothers and a cousin enjoying the snow. In 1919, the Lowe family began to sell the land in preparation for retirement. On the east side of the road, the land along the northern edge was purchased by William Scott Bond in 1919 and 1923. An additional parcel was sold to Leonard Steele in 1926. In 1927, these parcels became part of Leona Farms, later Trout Valley. The remaining property was purchased by John Pittner in 1929. We have a Pittner Road down off of Hickory Nut, and consisted of land across the road and in the area marked 1 on the area photo. Here's some more aerial photos. A horse barn with 2 small cabins in front. This is a 1946 aerial photo. So if you go from this photo, you can see how much foliage is back there, and then if you hop back to this, you can see what's taking place back there. It's always fun to know things about things you just drive by. I always knew about the ski resort, but I never knew after this deep dive here. In 1962. Henry Carroll and 4 other businessmen converted the land east of Carrie Algonquin Road into the Fox Trail Sports Arena in partnership with Carroll and Marvin Frisch, Donald Richard, Andrew. The first phase of the ski resort was opened in December 1962. It cost $700,000 to construct and consisted of 30 acres, 135-foot vertical drop, 7 rope tows, and 9 ski trails. Halfway through the first season, the 2 steepest trails were deemed too dangerous and were closed. The other 7 trails were named School Slope, Slowpoke, Pretzel Bender, Andy's Dandy, The Glades, River's End, and Nosedive. You and I just learned that together. The longest trail was 2,000 feet. The ski area boasted snowmaking equipment and lights for night skiing. It was open every day except Monday until 10:30 p.m. There were 70 employees conducting lessons, patrolling the grounds, and operating the shop and restaurant. Alexander Petrie was hired as a certified ski area manager and ski school instructor. There's a plot survey and a little eBay matchbook for the Fox Trail Sports Arena area. It says 30 acres of skiing, 9 rope tows, snowmaking equipment, cocktail lounge and restaurant, certified ski school, new equipment, and rental. Very cool. This was an artist rendering of the chalet and ski barn. A Swiss-style chalet was built next to the former horse barn and covered in a covered walkway connected the two buildings. The chalet contained a ski shop, ski school headquarters, restaurant, and cocktail lounge. The second floor had glass observation windows and room for bands and dancing. The ski shop was operated by Hubbard Woods Ski and Skate Shop of Winnetka. The remodeled ski barn had a ski rental and repair counter, ski patrol headquarters, a first aid area, and changing rooms. The second floor contained a nursery, supervised activities for kids and teens, and glass observation windows at each gabled end. Ice skating, hay rides, nightly entertainment, free bus service from the Cary train station. In 1964, a weekly snow bunny ski school was established for ladies who wanted to catch up with their skiing husbands and boyfriends, or vice versa. By 1967, it had expanded to 5 days a week, and in 1969, approximately 200 ladies signed up. By the end of the decade, the resort had 12 runs and 10 rope tows. Arnie was the director of the ski school. In 1969, the trails were redesigned and a new ski patrol building was constructed on the slopes. That's freed up room in the ski barn for public activities. We have some more aerials. You can see the tennis courts there. Swimming pool, clubhouse. And this is, we're making our way down to Camp Algonquin. There's somebody enjoying skiing. There's a nice poster from Fox Trails Country Club. Summer and winter, clubhouse and pools. Opening June 22nd. And then here's a Harry Hopes poster. There's a Harry Hope. They had a lot of notable folks at Harry Hopes. Skiing at Fox Trails was discontinued in 1974. At that time, the ski chalet was converted into Harry Hopes. This cozy music venue was owned by three high school teachers. It was open Wednesday through Sunday evening and featured food and drinks, live entertainment, and seating for 300 people. Frequent performers included Muddy Waters, Steve Goodman, Larry Gatlin, Mary Travers, Bonnie Clock, Jim Post, Corky Siegel, and the Duke Ellington Orchestra. In 1978, Muddy Waters recorded his Grammy-winning album Muddy, Mississippi Waters live at Harry Hope's. We just learned that together. All the music genres were represented. In 1981, the club moved to a new location in Elgin, but only stayed there for a year or two before closing. Go back to this photo real quick. And then finally, the land today, the Fox Trails and John Plain land all came under the same land trust in 1980. At this point, the land on the west side of the Cary Algonquin Road was set aside for Fox Trail subdivision. In 1995, United Homes announced plans to build the Gentry Ridge subdivision east of Cary Algonquin Road. Adamantly, the Conservation District started condemnation proceedings in 1995 to keep the land as open space, and Trout Valley incorporated as a village in 1996 to prevent the subdivision from being built. In 1997, the land was deeded to United Gentry Ridge Land Development LLC, and the club buildings were torn down. In 1998, plats for the Gentry Ridge Phase 1 and 2 were recorded. In the end, United Homes went bankrupt in 2000, and the Conservation District acquired the land in 2001. The property now is called Fox Bluff Conservation Area. It consists of 279 acres and a half mile of river frontage. A hiking trail winds its way up the hill alongside Cold Springs Road, and a picnic shelter, paved trails, restrooms, and parking lot are located at the bottom of the hill. Most of the land remains closed to the public for future site improvements. That was fun. It's always fun to know what you're driving past and the history of it. You can, you know, I'm a believer that areas have energy to them, and take a walk back there, stay on the marked trails, and see if you can feel it. This is the McHenry County Conservation Fox Bluff site. The Fox Bluff complex includes woodlands, wetlands, fens, wet prairies, and 3,530 linear feet of shoreline along the Fox River. The topography is steep with varying slopes and ravines. We know it's steep because they had to close a few of the ski hills, as we read earlier. The northern portion is currently open to the public for hiking and access to the Fox River. The southern section is a former 116-acre Camp Algonquin. The entire 273 acres is currently undergoing a master plan process to provide future hiking, fishing, and other public amenities. Fox Bluff Conservation Area is an area rich with history. Some of the more known past peoples, families, and features are the five Native American tribes: the Chippewa, Fox, Potawatomi, Sauk, and Winnebago. Other than the estates, the John Plain Recreation Area, then it turned into the Fox Trail Ski, Swim, and Tennis Sports Club, then the Nevermore Teen Nightclub, and then Harry Hope's. Some of the first settlers in McHenry County. Settled on that property. Tracing its roots back to the 1800s, Camp Algonquin emerged from the Progressive Era as a permanent camp to help treat ill and underprivileged women, children, and babies of Chicago. Established on 20 acres, located adjacent to the Fox River, the camp was supported by the Chicago Bureau of Charities, Chicago Board of Trade, Chicago Tribune, Oak Park Churches, and numerous private donors. I found this interesting. In 1910, Jens Jensen, the well-regarded landscape architect, was hired to produce a plan for the grounds of Camp Algonquin. During a visit to the Camp Jensen, she shared a story of why so many of the forest trees were bent over towards the river and not in the direction of the prevailing winds. Jensen goes on to say that this is a frequent feature of trees found in the vicinity of Indian campgrounds and comes from the fact that when the trees were saplings, they were used by Indian mothers for the swinging of their... That was a cool nugget. A detailed site plan from Jensen dated February 1911 depicts 16 buildings, a swimming pool, council ring, vegetable gardens, native landscaping, pedestrian paths, trails, cartage roads, benches, and bridges. Over the next half century, the camp continued to expand with the addition of numerous cottage and support buildings, along with program services and activities. In the 1980s, the camp received significant additions to both building needs and land holdings. Improvements included a new dining hall, camp office, activity center, winterization of several buildings, and the addition of 60 acres north of the existing property holdings. Camp Algonquin exposed children and adults in many instances for the very first time, or at least while only at camp, to activities such as swimming, canoeing, campfires, sing-alongs, and elementary tasks such as chores and scheduling. The most recent focus of Camp Algonquin was to enable students to experience transformative education by living and learning together in closeness with the natural environment. This is what we did there with the YMCA. They had team building activities. But back in the day, the reason why Chicago had such a heavy investment into this area was because they saw a use for it to experience nature. Here are some photos. And then, since you guys asked, I have one more. This is a lot here, kind of a little redundant from what we already went over. I'm going to go over these, and I'll have that photo up as I go over them. In 2002, the McHenry County Conservation District began a master plan process for the Fox Bluff Conservation Area. Camp Algonquin had not yet been acquired at this time and was approved in February of 2003. The master plan is the result of a cooperation of several groups, including the Planning and Development Department, Staff Master Plan Task Force, Public Master Plan Task Force, and the Board of Trustees. Based upon site observations, natural resource data collecting and mapping, public and staff input. A general description of the recommendations can be summarized below. Conserve, manage, and restore significant natural plant communities, including wetlands, fens, wet prairies, by primary site access off of Care Algonquin Road and secondary access off Cold Springs Road. Provide passive recreational trails for activities such as hiking, nature observation, and access to the river for fishing, canoeing, etc., 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 etc. Develop a water theme natural resource education trail system that highlights different elements of the site hydrology. Provide continued staff scientific research and education. Develop appropriate local multi-use trail connections to Cary Park District Trail System in Hoffman Park connections to a sub-regional trail system along Carrollgonquin Road and Clausen Road, and a possible connection to Camp Algonquin. Develop appropriate district and site historical cultural recognition to provide unique recreational activities and opportunities in the form of seasonal conference barn center, utilizing reclaimed barn timbers and wood from past district structures to construct a rental facility for wedding receptions, family events, and uses, and district programs. They also plan to develop a infrastructure that will support the natural resource-based educational program and rental opportunities, and provide a variety of shelters and typical site amenities. So that was a moderate dive into Camp Algonquin and the Fox Bluff recreational area. I enjoy going through history with you all, and I am honored to put a show like this together for you to enjoy wherever you may be. And next time you pass Carrollgonquin and Cold Springs Road, you'll be armed with some knowledge and be able to share with your kids or your other family members. And be that person in the car, be like, hey, the guy on Voices Carry said that. And take a ride down Cold Springs Road and park down there, have lunch. And walk around. It's a little nippy now, but put it on the pencil it in for the activities in spring. And you can probably still get out there now. It's you know, as we saw with the Briargate post, people are still riding their bikes. So get out there and enjoy what this area has to offer. There's a lot. Go on the conservation district's website, and I'm sure that if you're in the Village of Carry, you're no more than a mile away from some outdoor fun. So thank you for joining today for this episode of Voices Carry Live. We are live from the Village of Carry, broadcasting on X, Rumble, and YouTube. This show is for you. If you have something that you'd like to shout from the rooftops, like an event, weather photo, fun story, you can email us, and then you can also, some folks put, to remain anonymous. Like, I had one email saying, like, what are these bracelets on your hand? There was one email that asked what my bracelets were. And these are the activity bands from Yogi Bear Campground that I went with my kids recently. And I like to wear them until they fall off, so I can, you know, as I'm working or doing something, or if I'm bogged down at the moment, or I can just, you know, look at it and think about my kids. So yeah, anything like that. VoicesCarry@proton.me. And one thing we like to do here is check in on Bigfoot. When the first show I was putting together, I came across this YouTube video, and it was Bigfoot. It said Bigfoot in Carry, Illinois. And I like to pretend it's a live feed. So we can check in on Bigfoot right now. Let's take a look to see if he's out there. Yeah, he's still moseying around. I have made the promise of trying to find out where this location is and doing a Geraldo type investigation to see if there's any validity to this and see if there's any footprints. But yeah, we can. We like to have fun, and I think together, and great things are on the horizon. Thank you again for joining me, and it's an honor. And we will see you tomorrow. We are live every weekday, and we'll see you tomorrow with another wonderful episode. I don't know. Maybe I won't get as caffeinated, so I won't do a deep dive, but. I look forward to seeing you all, and you specifically, tomorrow on Voices Carry Life. Have a great night.
You're confirmed at T-minus 10 seconds.
In counting, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Reach for the sky.
Huh?
This town ain't big enough for the two of us.
What?
Somebody's poisoned the water hole.
It's busted.
Who are you calling busted, Buster? That's right. I'm talking to you, Sid Phillips. We don't like being blown up, Sid. Or smashed, or ripped apart.
We?
That's right. Your toys.
Play nice.